Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know by now the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but there is various content added throughout the week, so you got to continue to swing on over there, check that out, and see what's going on over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can easily just hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
Oh, so, all right, Dan, we watched, I don't know, the Super Bowl of all time. Is that what we're calling it?
What did you call it?
I said, was it the greatest Super Bowl of all time?
I mean, it's the greatest comeback.
I don't know. Obviously, I've seen a lot of them. I don't know if this was the greatest one. Yeah, it was, you know, again, like you said, the biggest comeback, and you know, there was obviously a lot of interesting things going on. But you were talking just before we bounced in here. What conspiracy theories did you hear?
I mean, I don't know how early you were up. The first thing I heard was I believe they were. He was trying to blame the refs, but this man, you know, he obviously put all his money on himself. Completely disappointed. Cannot believe he watched this utter dismay of lack of integrity outside of a football game. And he kind of tried to blame it on the referee, but, I mean, because I think it came down to where, you know, the Falcons played it, okay, they killed. Next thing you know, the sack. And then they're off range. That, I guess, where they could be very good. But you know, people, me, I love these things. And sorry, we were sitting next to each other last night, and I just can't find any way that the referees, or the NFL, as a whole, came together to fix this one.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's always difficult when you're rooting for one team and they, you know, there's really no other way to say it. I mean, the Falcons choked, you know, just bottom line. I mean, they, for whatever reason, you know, the one question I understand everybody seems to be asking is, why didn't they run the football a little more with that big lead? And, you know, early on they were having success running the ball, and then the Patriots kind of figured it out. I don't know why they didn't attempt to maybe run inside a little more after that and see if they could do a little pounding. Maybe it was because their center was playing on a broken leg. Who knows what the issues are. The last thing you need is for him to get rolled up on some kind of inside run play. So maybe that limited them. But, you know, you also have to realize this is how the Falcons played all year. You know, they didn't do anything different than they did all season long. And it worked to get them there, and it didn't work when they needed it to. So,
Brady went out there. Because, I mean, the guy that controlled the game and won the game, and the guy that started the game will get his ass whooped. been no change of demeanor. Both is there, seemingly the whole time. But other than that, I mean, he just continues to do what he does best. And I think that's what really helped them win. If they went in there, they would be grouped. Second, you know, for the halftime, I mean, what is they hold Atlanta to 7 points in the whole second half. You got to have to pull that out.
You know, I mean, football's, you know, it's a game of adjustments. You know, the Patriots made theirs. They made them very well. And, you know, in the end, they, you know, they get the win. You know, they get number five. So.
You know, what would have been amazing, though, is if the Falcons won the coin toss, came back, kicked the field goal, and then the Patriots scored the touchdown, and I would have had the full prediction down. Patriots 34-31. But yeah, 34-28. So, I mean, if I'm upset about anything, it's that.
Yeah, you know, and people have to realize, you know, that Atlanta defense was on the field a very long time. You know, the Patriots ran, I believe, double the amount of plays, or I don't know if it was double, but I know they set a record in play differential between two teams in a Super Bowl, you know, to go along with everything else. You know, Brady set yards, attempts, and completions. You know, James White set, I believe, receptions. So there were quite a few. I believe he may have tied another one. There were quite a few records that fell. But, yeah, I mean, you know, by the time overtime comes around, that Atlanta defense has just got to be gassed. And you could see it as the game went on. The Patriots had a little easier time moving the ball, and Brady wasn't under as much pressure as he was earlier. And, you know, you wonder how much that had to do with it.
Yeah, I'm over on the app right now. I haven't filled this out there. I'm looking for the breakdown of the quarters. And, yeah, you know, they don't have it, but or no, here it is. But what I thought was pretty amazing, Big Jack, is if you wanted to go back and see any of the commercials, they have a tab literally just for commercials. So I'm going to be checking that out later. But, yeah, like I said, I mean, Atlanta scored big in the second quarter, but didn't, you know, they scored 7 points in the third, in the whole second half. So, I mean, it's a huge testament. I mean, they had the same amount of rushing yards. But like you said, with them throwing the ball, they ended up with a time of possession of only 23 minutes, where New England had the ball for 40 minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, you talked about our predictions a little earlier. Now, you, Schomburg, Stu, and I all had New England, so we all hit on that right. Mr. Fantasy sadly takes the big L with the Falcons, and that gives Stu the win overall in our playoff pick'em as well. Not only did he win the regular season, he won the playoffs. The final score was 34-28. You know, oddly, we were all relatively close. You had New England right on at 4. It was Atlanta let you down at 28. I had New England with 31, so I missed by 3 there, and I had the Falcons with 27, so I only missed by 1 there. Stu, out of all of us, was the one a little off. He had New England at 36, so he only missed by 2 there. And then he had the Falcons at 24, so he only missed by 4 there. Mr. Fantasy, obviously, you know, way off because he had the Falcons winning. You and Stu right on with the MVP picks. You both had Tom Brady. My guy, LeGarrette Blount, didn't do squat. And, of course, Mr. Fantasy's guy, Matt Ryan, didn't win. I think maybe he was picking for the night before when Matt Ryan won the league MVP.
Yeah.
So
were you kind of surprised that basically the ineffectiveness of LeGarrette Blount?
Yeah, I really thought. Yeah, you know, yesterday on the podcast, I really thought the weakness to the Falcons was going to be pounding the middle of their interior defense. And obviously that's what LeGarrette Blount does. You know, I mean, he's a 240, 250 pound running back, you know, and he could have pounded away on him, and it just, it didn't work. It didn't happen. I mean, they, you know, as poorly as, you know, it ended up for the Falcons, in reality, their defense played pretty well until late. You know, but like Blount ended up, he did end up with the most carries on the team. He had 11 rushing attempts, but he only had 31 yards. So they did a fantastic job of shutting him down.
Yeah, now, were you surprised of, well, I guess Pac would be the guy, but I mean, I guess for being two guys from Chicago who watched Bennett, were you surprised that he didn't get a little bit more action? Or do you think that was a testament to the Falcons' defense? Because, I mean, it seemed like no matter what play happened, whether, you know, the Patriots caught the ball or dropped it or it was a missed pass, the Falcons were all over them. Do you think it was that?
Yeah, or? You know, when you look at the Patriots' passing offense, you know, the guys you got to stop are Julius Edelman and Martellus Bennett. And oddly, Atlanta had pretty good success stopping both those guys. You know, they both had five catches. You know, Edelman had that long 27-yard, just miraculous catch there at the end that really kind of set his day off. Otherwise, he didn't have much of a day. But, you know, like Bennett had some really big catches really late in the game. You know, there was that tip ball that should have been an interception, and he continued after it and actually made the reception on it. You know, so then you look, and I mean, you know, the Falcons, they got beat by James White, who had 14 receptions. Danny Amendola had 8, and Malcolm Mitchell had 6. You know, these aren't the guys. I mean, like, if we'd have been sitting here yesterday and you'd have called in and said, hey, I predict James White is going to catch 14 passes tomorrow, Mr. Fantasy and I would have probably just started laughing at you. But, he was a monster.
Yeah, you know, and to the Patriots' credit, they did try to get Bennett the touchdown. I think twice. Was it not twice?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the one time he got tackled short, and then they went back to him. And, you know, if it wouldn't have been a defensive lineman covering him, it actually may have been an interception. But luckily it was a defensive lineman who's not used to being out there. So that was, but obviously, you know, they knew that matchup. That's why they were going that way. You know, it's not like there was a lot of luck involved there. I mean, they knew Bennett was being covered by a defensive end. So, but yeah, you know, it was, you know, I mean, he still had 5 catches for 62 yards. He was targeted 6 times. He had a really solid game. It just, you know, when you kind of compare him to the other numbers the guys around him are putting up, you know, it didn't look that great. But he had that one long 25-yard, you know, grab. And, you know, obviously if he'd have caught the game-winning touchdown, you know, we'd have looked at his day a whole nother way. But, you know, he had a fine game. I mean, you know, it just wasn't, you know, it's a little overshadowed by, you know, James White getting 14 catches and a touchdown and Danny Amendola getting 8 catches and a touchdown. And, you know, it just, he fit in, he played his role, and, you know, now he's got a Super Bowl ring that obviously he was never going to get here in Chicago.
No, he wasn't. And that's why I said it was his company if the Patriots could have taken, what's his name, the running back, Matt Forte.
Yeah, Matt Forte. So,
if only he. Now, you know, you and I watched every moment of this game yesterday. And, you know, kind of bouncing back to the conspiracies. And, you know, a lot of the conspiracies, I think, can be tied in through the NFL. And, you know, that tie-in goes to the referees. You know, I think I could ultimately say, and I, you know, want to get your opinion. I mean, this is one of the few games where there wasn't a million flags being thrown to begin with. And I think, what would you say about 9? Almost, I would say 100% of them. I did not have an issue with them. I thought they were all good calls.
Yeah, no, they had, you know, all the replays they showed. And I know, if you know, if you're a Falcons fan, that one late in the game to get the in overtime, actually, to get the Patriots down to the goal line, yes, that guy, what did it was pass interference when he was covering Martellus Bennett. You know, he wasn't looking at the football, and he had his one arm completely across Bennett's body. You know, yeah, again, like I said, I know it sucks because, you know, it basically got the Patriots down there and really just put the nail in the Falcons' coffin. But, you know, as somebody who didn't have basically a horse in the race, it was the right call. You know, I mean, you can go and look, and like I heard somebody complaining today that Julian Edelman really didn't catch that ball. And I don't know who the one ref is. I don't know the guy's name. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. But the one guy, I think he was wearing referee number 44, came charging right in immediately and called it a catch, and very emphatically called it a catch. And he was right on. I mean, you know, I know we're going to rip these guys. You're always going to rip these guys, be it if you're a ref or an umpire or whatever description, you know, a judge in tennis, I believe they're called. You know, these guys are always going to get ripped, but that guy deserves a lot of credit for emphatically knowing what was going on in the game and watching that situation. So,
you know, like I told my, you know, coworkers and such, you know, people at the bus stop, you know, I'm like, I'm all for conspiracies, and you know me, I'm the first one who's going to jump all over a referee or any of that stuff. But I mean, to be honest, I think with a lot of the BS over the last few years, all sports in general, I think this was probably one of the best called games. But like you said, not having a horse in the race, aside from my $20, which, you know, helped fuel the guys squares that, you know, made organized it. Yeah, I was a little upset about that, but, you know, it is what it is. I didn't lose a whole lot. But again, I mean, how many times did they show that replay? That was a complete catch. I mean, but I did see one little meme this morning, and I don't know if they were trying to say that it was Ant-Man holding the ball up or just a stick figure. But I'm sure as this week goes on, we'll see more memes of that, you know, close up.
Yeah, you know, again, I get it. You know, if you're a Falcon fan, you know, you're looking for these things. I mean, trust me, I was the same way when the Patriots beat the Seahawks a couple years ago when, you know, they made the dumbest play in the world throwing the, you know, pass down, you know, past goal line. So, you know, I'm all in. I get what you're talking about. I'm right there with you, but it just wasn't the case this time. You know, there were no real controversial calls. I mean, you know, they made a great call on, you know, the Julio Jones catch, which kind of gets buried now because the Patriots won. That was one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history. And, you know, we're never going to hear anything about that.
No. No, you're right. It was I don't know how Matt Ryan plays that ball. And, I mean, this is just the testament of a true professional on Julio Jones to be able to catch a ball, you know, in that coverage, and not only catch it, but be able to put both of those feet down, looking like a ballerina before going
out. Yeah, you know, and I'm looking here. I finally found the stat I was looking for. The Falcons ran 46 plays in the game. The Patriots ran 93. So yeah, that actually was double. I didn't think it was double, but yeah, just a little over. That's just, you know, insane. And then, I mean, you know, you want to look at some other reasons. The Falcons were 1-for-8 on third down. You know, those are drive killers. You know, so you run into these things.
You know, and the way you look at it too, if it weren't for that one interception, we might not have gone to overtime, and the Patriots could have won it. Or it would have been tied at 28. Or was it?
You do wonder, you know, there's a lot of complaints that, you know, Kyle Shanahan called a pass play and Brady got sacked and it took him out of field goal range. You know, well, maybe they, you know, if they run the ball, is it a different game? You know, they make the, but, you know, then that field goal is not guaranteed. You know, we're still looking at a probably a 40-plus yard field goal. You know, I know Matt Bryant's a good kicker, and he made the 76-yarder one in at the Pro Bowl screwing around. I get it, but, you know, if he misses, then what's your complaint? I mean, you can't continue to come up with these things, you know. But I, you know, again, like I said, I get it as a fan of the team, and, you know, you're talking about Atlanta that, you know, as a whole, the city actually, you know, it hasn't had a lot of playoff success. We saw the graphic last night. You know, you just hope they can kind of recover from this and continue to be a very good football team.
Or if they're going to be at Carolina. At
least you right, you know, and that's, you know, that's, right, you know, that's the question, you know, you got to ask. I mean, are they, you know, the next Carolina Panthers, or do you know, can they bounce back? Can they repeat this? You know, and it's difficult to go to the Super Bowl back-to-back years. You know, it's, you know, it's not easy. I mean, you know, even the Patriots didn't do it. You know, they won in 2015. They didn't get back last year, and they won again this year. So, you know, it's tough, but, you know, the Falcons have a ton of talent. So they, you know, as long as they can keep guys healthy and, you know, everybody comes back, they have a fantastic shot. You know, I know there's people, you know, I saw the odds come out, and I know there's people already putting the Dallas Cowboys ahead of them, but let's, you know, let's relax on that a little bit just yet.
The other big portion of the game, which I never, ever really care about. You and I sat there watching it. It turned out it was actually really good. What did you think of Lady Gaga?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not going to jump up here and say, you know, I know every song. I mean, I've heard them on the radio, and, you know, I've seen the video from time to time. But, I don't go out of my way to listen to her music. But, I thought she was really good, you know, as far as, you know, as halftimes go. I mean, you know, she's got to be up there with some of the best ones. I mean, I think Prince is kind of roundly regarded as the best one ever. And, you know, I know Michael Jackson was very good. So, you know, if those guys are one and two, I mean, maybe she's five or six. But, yeah, I thought she was really good. What was really disappointing is, you know, people have way too much free time because they were, like, body shaming her on Twitter. You know, and it's just like, who cares? She's performing at the Super Bowl. You know, it's like, whatever.
I mean, I don't know what was to be shamed of.
I think the last outfit she wore was a little tight, and it made her look a little pudgy. But, you know, she's a small person anyways, and it's like, you know, why are you looking at that? Aren't you listening to the music or trying to figure out where the hell she was going on the stairs leading to nowhere at the end there. I was like, what's the outcome here?
I mean, for all things that have happened with her, the election and just the way our society and our Hollywood elites go, I can't say that I was very pleased that it was about what it was supposed to be about, and it was about the music.
Yeah.
And she wasn't putting across any agendas or anything like that. So I think that's what probably, you know, made things a little bit, you know, easier for me to watch. And I thought it was pretty cool. And then learning afterwards that, you know, the effects in the sky, I don't think were seen by the people in Houston, but that was still pretty cool.
Yeah, I was really glad that I didn't get to hear her political agenda because, I don't care. That's my thing with all these celebrities. You know, I have my own political beliefs. I don't care what yours are. You know, I'm not sticking mine down your face. Just go out there and do your job. You know, and that's what she did. I said, you know, she is very talented. You know, she can play the piano. She can play the guitar. I believe drums. She can, you know, she can actually play the musical instruments. So, you know, it's a little different than, yeah, you know, a lot of the, you know, the performers, you know, they get who, you know, while they're great singers, they don't play anything. So. But yeah, you know, I thought they did a nice, you know, I thought they did a nice job of framing it, and you know, it seemed to go fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it went a lot faster. I think because you didn't have, you know, like in previous performances, four or five different acts, you know, making different changes where her costume changes were, you know, stripping off one piece to the next, and you didn't actually have to stop. You know, you didn't have to stop anything for her to do it.
Basically, they huddled around her, right, to make it look like, I mean, it's football anyways. You might as well huddle up, right?
Yeah. So, you know, and I guess after breaking down what we saw and how everything went, as far as gameplay, referee, comeback, you know, Super Bowl commercials, halftime show, I do think it probably can go down as one of the greatest as far as being smooth, game and everything you want out of it. You know, I know it's not the greatest if you're down in Atlanta or you're a Falcons fan to begin with, but, you know, when the Patriots win again in maybe next year or the year after, will Robert Kraft again say this will be the sweetest victory of them all?
Yeah, you know, you've got to think. I mean, you know, what I did like that the Patriots didn't spend any time addressing that situation, and they just kind of let everybody wonder or, you know, look, you know, kind of come up with their own ideas behind it. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I just figured that's one of those cliches that, you know, they went it the first time, and this is a sweet victory. You know, you win it a second time, and this is the sweetest victory because we just, you know what I mean? I guess pointing to the fact that they won, and that's one of those cliche things you say because you won. And if you won again, you win again, then you add in this is the sweeter victory. But, you know, I think you and I talked about it on Friday and for Thursday, and it's slap in the face or not, you know, Goodell shook the hands and handed the trophy over.
Yeah, no, he did. You know, he did his job. Obviously, he got booed in his post game speech, like you expected, and you know that's not, you know, nothing new. He just kept going, and you know, he did what he had to do. He shook hands with who he had to shake hands with, and you know, that was it. He left. You know, but I know, you know, the media. You know, that's the media driven part. You know, oh yeah, you know, Brady's out to get his revenge for, you know, and did it motivate them? You know, I'm sure it probably did, but. You know, that's, you know, just, you know, another reason for them to go.
Yeah, I mean, call it what you want, revenge, call it whatever you want, but I call it 4 extra weeks of rest for Brady.
Yeah. So, you know, and I, you know, you mentioned the commercial. I was kind of wondering all day, was there one that stood out to you? Did you? Because I'm trying to think what I remember, and I'm not sure any of them were really great this year.
No, I mean, the only one that really stood out to me, and it's only because it was the first one I saw again on Facebook this morning, was the Christopher Walken. You know,
there were a couple I know you and I really laughed at. I know that was one of them. I enjoyed the Melissa McCarthy one where she was trying to save everything and just nothing ever worked out for her. I believe that might have been Kia. And I thought there was one more. For the life of me, I couldn't remember it.
Nothing really. You know, even Budweiser's meaningful one. I don't know.
Yeah. I was very disappointed. You know, I was so looking forward to a Clydesdale commercial. I always enjoy them very much. And yeah, nothing this year. You know, like I thought the Spuds McKenzie one was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
I don't remember him talking in the other ads. You know, he was just a dog. Now he's a ghost dog. And it just seemed kind of dumb. But yeah, you know, I was like, yeah, whatever.
When you're a ghost dog, you talk.
Yeah, is that, you know, not, you know, obviously, you know, he never drank the beers in the other commercial. And I remember the guy, I don't have thumbs. It's like, yeah, whatever. I was pretty much over that. And it was just like, all right, is there anything, you know, anything at all? And I was like, yeah.
There's nothing like the Jordan Barkley commercials.
Normally there's one that kind of stands out above all the other ones, and I'm not really sure I saw that one this year. There wasn't a Doritos ad, you know.
I don't think. Well, you know, there was nothing.
So even though you
made me want to.
You know, even though I think it was, even though I hated the commercial, you know, even there wasn't even the, you know, puppy monkey baby Mountain Dew commercial that I just thought was really strange. I think it was last year or 2 years ago. So. But yeah, and then they had the odd story. I don't know if you picked this one up. Apparently, the jersey Tom Brady wore in the game disappeared out of the Patriots locker room. And now the actual Texas Rangers, not the baseball team or the character Chuck Norris used to play, the actual Texas Rangers have been asked to help find this thing. So I, you know, that was kind of strange.
Well, I'm sure that was planned to be auctioned off at, you know, $10,000.
Yeah, it was placed as a designated value of up to $500,000. And then, yeah, you know, ratings-wise, it drew 111.3 million viewers, which is actually down a little bit from last year. That's a little surprising for me. I thought with this matchup, we would see more, but... I don't know. I don't know. What else was going on? Did we miss something?
I don't know, because pretty much everyone else has stopped their programming.
Yeah. So, but yeah, let's see what they've got here. Yeah, small. Yeah, it was smaller than the previous 2 years. 2 years ago was the biggest when the Patriots beat the Seahawks, 14.4 million. So, oddly, and this doesn't surprise me at all, they lost about 4 million viewers at the start of the third quarter when the Falcons took that 28-3 lead and it looked like it was over. So, apparently there was a Donald Trump interview on the Fox News channel with Bill O'Reilly, which drew 12.2 million viewers. So... that was it. But yeah, they were, you know, last year's Super Bowl did 111.9 million. So 0.6 more million this year. But halftime, Dan, and now this is weird for me. Halftime drew 117.5 million people. And then they turned away after halftime was over. So do you really just turn in to see Lady Gaga and not watch the game?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people were expecting something political.
Maybe they were expecting something they didn't get.
You know, and just like you said, Bill O'Reilly was on with Trump. You know, going back to my school radio days, you know, and I told you this a million times, we were told that, you know, people who liked Howard Stern listened to him for 2 hours a day. Where people who didn't like Howard Stern listen for 4 hours a day so they can call and complain. So you've got to wonder, yeah, with the state of the country, how many of those 12 million viewers on Trump's end were people who didn't like him or who didn't, you know, not my president kind of people. So you got to wonder how much of that affected it. And also, like you said, how much of the seemingly blowout affected it, because you said so many, you know, million moved away from it. You know, we're both sports guys to begin with, but I don't know. Let's just say there was something else on and you weren't at my house. Second half, would you have kept to it, or would you have maybe dropped off the third quarter and came back in the fourth, even if nothing had changed? Or do you think you would have just stuck with it?
Yeah, I guess it would depend what it was. You know, like I wouldn't have went away for it from like a television show, but maybe another sporting event. You know, again, depending on what it could have been. But yeah, it, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's the Super Bowl. It's the one time, you know, you really do this. So
yeah, and do you think it's easier for you and I to sit through it, for the fact that, you know, even though you and I both had the Patriots, and you know, between the four of us, there's no money going on or anything like that. But I mean, do you think it made it much more relaxing that we don't really have any investment in either team, and makes it easier to just to continue to watch? Where I was never the biggest diehard Bear guy, but watching them just get completely shut down by the Colts and, you know, 06. I think I was actually watching with my dad and I just left. I don't know if it was the emotional part of it. You know, and I know with the Patriots, when they beat the Seahawks, that was definitely a closer game. It was not a blowout. But do you think that makes you turn it off more? If you're a little bit more emotionally invested in it?
Yeah, when you're invested, you know, really invested, I know, I don't remember which Super Bowl it was, but, you know, that my couple of my friends were at a party, obviously with one of their friends, and the guy hosting the party got so upset, he went into the other room in his house and stayed there while the party was going on in his living room, because he just couldn't handle the way the game was going. And they're sitting in the living room, you know, eating his food, drinking his beer, and, you know, just trying to figure out what's going on with them. And, you know, nobody wants to bother him because you don't know, you know, anything that's kind of happening. Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, you don't want to, depending on how well you know somebody, you don't really want to follow them. And, you know, like, I wasn't going to follow your wife into your guy's bedroom last night to see what she was doing. You know, you don't want to just wander off like that. So, yeah, he ended up sitting in a room by himself watching the game alone while they sat in his living room and had the party. So yeah, it
I mean,
can
that's
be – yeah, I mean, it can be really tense when you're invested. So, you know what I mean? That's one of those things I think – I think if the Bears ever get back, we need to test this theory, and you and I need to go to Mr. Fantasy's house for that game and just see how he reacts if the Bears start to lose or play bad. And, you know, maybe we videotape them and we put it on the Sports Time Radio Instagram account or something. But yeah, it, I had a feeling it could get pretty ugly. I know he used to be a thrower, you know, when things didn't go right, stuff would fly. I don't know, you know, he's obviously, he's a little older now, so maybe, you know, he's out of that phase, but.
And he was,
yeah,
he was a door slammer.
Yes.
Slammer.
he's a thrower, he's a door slammer. He's good at what you would call making an exit, you know, to leave a room when he's upset. And I bet, you know, if it was a Bears Super Bowl and it wasn't going his way, we could probably get some great video and probably get a whole bunch of YouTube hits if we had if we decided we wanted to post it. But
yeah,
it's just kind of, You know, it's tough.
And, you know, my level of interest in the NFL has definitely grown over the last few years, especially doing the podcast. The understanding of the game as a whole, you know, when it comes down to plays and crap, I'll never understand that. But that's just, you know, catch the ball, throw the ball. But that's just me.
That's why you asked me.
I'm not, yes, and I'm not educated in football stuff like that. But, you know, I will say kind of going back, and maybe your opinion might help it, but, you know, maybe it wasn't that I wasn't overly invested in the NFL to begin with, but I think at the same time, living in Chicago with that, you know, 85 Bears stuff, and you finally got a team, you know, because I was too young to really watch it. And the stuff, my dad had it on VHS. He recorded it on VHS. I wish I didn't record over it. But, you know, I watched it as I got a little bit older. But it's just, I guess, always trying to relive that moment or get back to that. You know, watching them get completely shut out by the Colts, it was just hard to watch. I mean, did you feel the same way too? Or, you know, I felt like going back to that day, the only game plan that the Bears had was let Devin Hester run it and we'll win it.
Yeah.
And the Colts just completely took that out of the Bears game plan. And I left. I couldn't even watch the rest of the game.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the more overmatched Super Bowls. You know, obviously, you know, rooting for the Bears, we live in Chicago, you want to see the Bears do well. But yeah, they were outclassed. You know, the Colts were just a better team then. I mean, you're looking at Peyton Manning in his prime, and you know, he just picked apart, you know, Lovie Smith and his great defense. You know, there was no real hope for them. It was, yeah. You know, once Indy got rolling, and you know, the Bears never did have a great offense. They had, you know, it was good or maybe above average, but it was never great. You knew once they were down, Rex Grossman wasn't bringing them back. So, you know, and then, you know, well, you know, like yesterday, I mean, for three quarters, you know, the game sucked. I mean, I think the biggest reason I stuck with it is, you know, as much as we do the podcast together, we don't really see each other. And I had actually never seen your daughter in person, just photos. Yeah, so this was the first time I got to see your daughter. I don't see your wife, you know, what, once a year, twice a year. So, you know, it makes it a little easier when, you know, we're there in person because, you know, it's just something we don't normally do. You know, so, yeah, that, you know, that makes it a whole lot more entertaining. I mean, I wish Mr. Fantasy would join us, but, you know, the drive's just too far for him, I guess. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's a, you know, a huge plus to it. You know, and then once the game got good, I mean, you know, we both really kind of got into it. Yeah. You know, it just took three plus quarters for it to become a good game.
Well, and I guess that's the other side of it. Yeah, you know, it sucked watching the Patriots kind of get just trampled in that second quarter. But at the same time, you know, I sat there and despite the score, I just kind of kept thinking, well, these are the two best teams in the NFL right now. And you just can't give up. It's not, you know, week 15 and, you know, you're the Cleveland Browns and you're one of their fans. You know, that's not the situation we're in. It's not, you know, it's not week two and, oh, well, you know, they're getting blown out. So I just tune in next week to see what happens. I mean, do you kind of feel that way too? Like, even if they did get completely blown out, I still felt like, you know, you've got the two best teams and you just can't count either team out.
Yeah, you know, with these offenses, you know, it's tough to, you know, go away from it. I mean, you know, you're looking, you know, that and the fact that, I mean, we're not going to get another meaningful game till, when do they kick off now? It seems like they start pretty early, but, you know, what is it, October, November, whenever they get rolling, you know, we're not going to get an actual football game until, you know, then.
Oh.
That means something. So, you know, I mean, you know, not counting preseason, of course, because, you know, that's a huge joke. So, you know, it's, you know, you want to stick with it. And, yeah, you know, I mean, again, even in a blowout, you know, we didn't have a horse in the race. So, say, you know, even if Atlanta would have put up 50, I probably would have stayed with the game just because I wasn't betting on anything. You know, I just don't like to lose to Mr. Fantasy, so it was a good thing the Patriots came back and, you know, I got the win and, you know, all that stuff. So,
oh, that's got to be part of it.
You know, that, yeah, that, you know, that's my whole thing is, you know, I just want to make sure. And, you know, I think we ended up tied. I think me, you, and him end up tied because you hit your MVP pick. And Stu beat us by, I think, 2 games. So, you know, just kind of worked out that way. But, you know, yeah, that's, you know, that's the fun part. And, you know, like, you know, you guys had the squares. So it was kind of fun to see how you guys were, you know, close to doing or, you know, anything like that. And sadly, you know, your wife didn't hit any winners there at her work. So, but yeah, I saw my, one of my buddies on Facebook that I go way back with was on, he had 500 bucks until the Patriots scored that last touchdown to tie the game. So I was like, oh, but yeah, that's, you know, that can be heartbreaking. And yeah, I'm sure there was a, you know, a ton of gambling, but you know, the Patriots covered. So if you bet New England in the cover, you know, they did do that. I believe the over under was 59. So they went over. So, you know there's funny, a, you know, a little.
Sunday, I did a little driving around and I was by myself. So I was listening. I don't know who I was listening to. One of the fill-ins for the weekend, you know, and these guys were all, you know, they've been, and I'm sure you've listened to all last week. They were just killing this Super Bowl. What are we supposed to talk about? How are we, you know, there's nothing going to be exciting about this game and blah, blah, blah. And one guy going, oh, I ran to make my bet for the under. There's no way they're going to go over. And now I didn't, you know, I mean, do they look like a bunch of dumbasses now?
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, right away, you know, today the 49ers announced that they did hire Kyle Shanahan as their head coach. You know, the NFL has that rule where nothing can be announced. So it's official now that the Falcons season is over. You know, they had to wait for that. So he'll officially become the 49ers head coach. So, you know, they're all set there. So all the coaching positions are filled and, you know, now we, you know, we move on to the draft and I know the news came out right away. You know, and I think I believe Mr. Fantasy and I talked about this yesterday and you and I mentioned it, you know, who's looking to trade the Patriots for Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, that came up right away today as a big topic, you know, as soon as people stopped talking about the Super Bowl. It was just like, oh, what are they going to do with him and who's going to pay the price to, you know, bring this guy in as their quarterback. So, you know, it doesn't take long for, you know, the NFL to just keep rolling into their, you know, whatever their next deal is.
No, it doesn't. Well, and you still have skeptical people out there who think Brady's not coming back.
Yeah, I don't get that, but okay, you know, I mean, what the heck, you know, everybody's got to, you know, I'm sure there's fans of every other team besides the Patriots rooting for that announcement. So
are they essentially the Yankees of the NFL?
You know, in a sense, except, you know, they did it without spending money. You know, they find uses for guys that no one else can do. You know, I mean, Julian Edelman was a college quarterback. You know, the Patriots found a use for him. Chris Hogan was a, you know, a career third or fourth receiver on teams like Buffalo.
Yeah, no, I meant like in the sense that while they have a huge fan base, everyone's fan base of the all other 20 or 31 teams hates them. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're easily the most hated team in the NFL. I mean, that's not even, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, I know there's a lot of people who, like, hate the Raiders and hate the Cowboys and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, when you win like this and you win constantly. You know, I mean, this is what, you know, it's two Super Bowls in 3 years and, you know, five since Brady got there, and they've been to seven. You know, it, you know, you get tired of, you know, seeing these damn guys in the Super Bowl all the time. You know, you want to, you know, you want to see somebody knock them off, or, you know, you want to, you know, root against them, or, you know, however you work it out. I mean, I, you know, I get it, you know, that's just kind of how it works when a team gets good, but yeah. So, yeah, you know, we'll see, you know, we'll move on to, you know, next year, and,
oh, I had my,
you know, maybe somebody knocks. Oh, is
that
what happened?
Rain,
I was wondering
what. Yeah, I, you know, what are the odds? And, like, I don't know if you heard anything, but, you know, maybe Vegas. I'll have to look into Vegas if someone has this one out there. But what are the odds in, say, the next 5 years, because I think that's how long Brady wants to be around, that we get not only another Super Bowl with the Patriots in it, but against the Giants with Eli Manning, and they win, and the Giants win again.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know about that one. You know, I mean, obviously New England was the favorite going in already to next season. You know, they posted those odds right away. I think it was this morning or however, you know, it worked out, but, you know, just kind of one of those things. And yeah, you know, I mean, it's, I definitely think it's possible. You know, the Giants, you know, they were a solid team this year. So maybe they, you know, they find a way to, you know, if things fall right, maybe they get back in, you know, get back in there. I mean, you know, obviously the Cowboys look like they're built to win for, you know, a little while. You know, and I, you know, Green Bay, as long as Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers, you know, they're going to have a chance to, you know, compete. So, you know, and then, you know, you wonder, you know, if Minnesota can keep Adrian Peterson and keep him healthy and they get Teddy Bridgewater back, you know, because they were, you know, a hot pick at the beginning of this season, you know, until Bridgewater got hurt.
Well,
so, you know, you wonder if, you know, maybe that pops back up and they have a shot.
Well, and then you bring the Vikings up, and obviously you haven't read what I've read. I should start emailing me sometimes when I read some stuff. But just like you, I read so much random stuff throughout the day, it's so hard to keep track. But, you know, rumors that the Cowboys want to take on Peterson, and
yeah,
only that Bridgewater's injury might bring him to be out next season too.
Yeah, you know, I had heard both of those, you know, and it's just, you know, like the Cowboys one, you know, and you get to the point where, you know, every time there's a player out there, he's associated with the Cowboys. Now, everybody's not going to go play for the Cowboys, you know, and I don't understand why a player of Adrian Peterson's stature would go to a place like Dallas. Is he going to play second fiddle to Ezekiel Elliott? Is he going to be the starter? Does he think he's going to share carries? You know, the only possible reason he would be going to Dallas would be because he thinks they can win a Super Bowl. You know, that's something he's never done. You know, Bridgewater, obviously, we know a little less about because we don't know how his rehab's going. You know, I want to see him come back. You know, I thought he was, you know, an improving quarterback and, you know, finally, you know, kind of finding his way. And it was disappointing to see him get hurt like he did, basically doing nothing. I mean, he was doing a drop back drill and he, you know, he blew his knee out to the point where he was done for the year and possibly more. So, you know, I'm hoping he gets back and can kind of pick up where he, you know, he left off. But yeah, you know, you know, that's always frustrating because, you know, we'll see every free agent out there is going to go to the Cowboys. So it's like, okay, whatever.
You know, the other team you had mentioned, the 49ers, I don't remember who the backups are, but is Kaepernick going to be back with this new coach? Is Christian Ponder on this team?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah, he is. He's the third quarterback on that team. It's actually it's Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert, and Christian Ponder were the guys they had last year. Now, I've heard the apparently Kyle Shanahan went there with a wish list, and his top two guys are Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo. So will the Niners fulfill either of those wishes? I'm going to say no, because if Cousins can't sign with the Redskins, they're going to franchise him. And if the Niners give up the number two pick in the draft for Garoppolo, they're morons. So, you don't do that kind of stuff. Obviously, they're in this hole for a reason, so they're probably dumb enough to do it. And then Shanahan will be the coach there for a couple seasons. They'll win probably four games combined, and he'll be back as somebody else's offensive coordinator because he'll be out of a job. So, think you hand the Patriots the number two pick in the draft after they just won the Super Bowl. That's fantastic. So,
it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, morons. So, we'll see. I mean, obviously there's a boatload of questions, who's going to cut who and who's going to resign who and, how this all works out. So, it's our, the off season stuff and, we got pitchers and catchers reporting in 8 days and, don't forget, there's a free center ice preview this week, Dan, so you can watch all the Capitals games.
Sweet.
So, look for that and see if you can check it out. So I don't know. I don't know if they're playing tonight. I can pull. So I know we only got a few minutes left here. Let me pull up the NHL schedule and see if you can watch them tonight. No, they're not. They're not playing tonight. So you'll have to wait there.
Oh yeah.
They are playing tomorrow. They're playing Carolina tomorrow. Yeah, it was funny is in all the Super Bowl fuss, Dan, I forgot to set my lineup yesterday, so I had a Black Sunday, and it cost me pretty heavily. So not a not the best of moves there for me with everything going around, but I guess it could have been worse. I'll just have to make it up this week.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, I saw the commercial for it yesterday when I got home. It was like, there's a NHL center ice preview. I was like, I got to remember to tell Dan so we can watch all those Capital games this week. So.
They're going to win.
You can get on there and check that out and, see what's going on. I'll have to watch a little of it. I don't think I've ever seen the center ice stuff before. I've watched all the other ones, but I've never seen, obviously it's just the same thing, but it'd be kind of funny to, or kind of cool, I guess, to see, some of the games from, like, Winnipeg or something like that.
Wait, is this on cable and the internet?
I didn't really say in the commercial. It was just, I just heard it was going to be a free preview. So, all right, the music means Dan and I are going to take off. But, hey, we're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. So, now, don't forget, while we're away, get yourself over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out all the stuff going on there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Of course, you can jump on and follow the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are out there on Twitter as well. Hopefully, we'll get to Dan's picks tomorrow and get that rolling again. But occasionally, it's nice to give him a little break, and he's got a break going. But as always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.